Sobari Rishi was engaged in austerity deep in the water of the river Yamuna when he saw a pair of fish engaged in maitun, sexual affairs. Thus, he perceived the pleasure of sex life, and induced by this desire, he came out of the water and went to King Mandaka and begged for one of the king's daughters. In response to this, the king said, "O Brahmana, any one of my daughters may accept any husband according to her personal selection." This is the beginning, I'd say it's the beginning of the end, but it says it's the beginning. The sentence says it's the beginning of the story of Sobari Muni. It's also the beginning of the end of Sobari Muni. According to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Mandata was the king of Mathura, and Sobari Rishi was engaged in austerities submerged in the waters of the Yamuna. When the Rishi felt sexual desire, he came out of the water and went to King Mandata and asked that one of the king's daughters become his wife. Om Gyanatimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasimho Bhaktam. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So Sobari Muni was such a powerful rishi, he was able to sustain his life to live underwater. And it's described in other literatures that he was several years under the water. And his body was completely covered with moss and seaweed and what we call barnacles. Barnacles are little creatures that attach themselves to the bottoms of boats and things. He was covered with all kinds of, there were snails and walking up his body. He was completely ugly, very ugly. And he looked like some underwater fish or something. But such a powerful rishi, he was able to live underwater, somehow to maintain his life. So his body, his senses, they were submerged in the waters of the Yamuna. But his mind, although he was so powerful to control his senses and able to live even underwater, which is inconceivable by anyone today to do such a thing, but still he could not control his mind. He had not submerged his mind. His mind was not under his control. So when he was under the water and he saw two fish were combined together in union, his mind became disturbed by Maitunyagara, this sex attraction. And then being so disturbed just by seeing two fish, by seeing the rupam, the maituna, machi maitun rup, the form of two fish combined together, just by seeing this, he became so disturbed by that rupam that he gave up all his austerities. So just see the power of rup. We have rup, gun, right? We have different pancha sparsha, right? We have rupam, we have ganda, we have swad, we have shabda, we have sparsha, right? These are the five objects of the senses: touching, sparsha; shabda, hearing, sound vibration; rupam, seeing; ganda, smelling; and swad or rasam, tasting. So these are the objects. So in front of his eyes, he saw rupam. this form of lady and male and lady fish combining completely. All his powerful tapasya, all his powerful austerities, just gone. The downfall of Sobari Rishi. So the downfall of Sobari Rishi was caused by rupam, by seeing form. So this is the this sex attraction between man and woman, or between male and female, whether it's monkeys or pigs, horses or dogs, birds or cats, or insects or man or devatas or rakshasas. This attraction between the male and female form is a basic attraction that's maintaining the material world. So we have to inquire, what is the source? What is the primordial source of sex attraction? Where does it originate? Where does it come from? Because janmad yasya yataha, the Vedanta Sutras, janmad yasya yataha, janmadi yasya yataha, everything has its janma, has its origin in the Absolute Truth. The Absolute Truth, God, Krishna, Bhagavan, Ram, Narayan, Vishnu. The Absolute Truth is the source of everything. As Krishna again confirms in Gita Upanishad, Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate iti matva bhujanti mam buddha bhava samanvitah. I am the source of everything. Everything comes from me. All this material energy, spiritual energy, marginal energy, ignorance comes from me, knowledge comes from me, enlightenment comes from me, illusion comes from me, day and night, happiness, distress, everything comes from me. God is the source of everything. So therefore, sex attraction, the attraction between male and female, must have its origin in God. And in fact, it does. That's the primordial source of attraction between man and woman. And there it's in its pure, pristine form. The perfect man, Swayam Bhagavan, Sham Sundar Damodar Madhava Krishna. And the perfect woman, created by the perfect man, or expanded from the perfect man, Radhani Shakti Swarupini, Prema Swarupini Radharani. So the perfect man and the perfect woman, and when they combine together in divine union, that's called Sambhog Milan, Rati Vilas, pure spiritual love within the absolute pure domain of the spiritual world, Vaikuntha Dham, Goloka Dham. This is the origin. Krishna is attracted to Radharani, Radharani is attracted to Krishna. So the attraction for woman is within Krishna. In other words, attraction, the quality of attraction is inherent within God. It is part and parcel of God, the power of attraction. To be attractive and to be attracted. In other words, he has the qualities of beauty and strength and knowledge which we are attracted to. But then he also, within himself, he is also attracted to something. He's attracted to beauty and power and love. So when he expanded his potentiality, or expanded his energy as Srimati Radharani, she was the full potential of that loving, attractive power. Supreme love. Radhani Shakti. Love means bliss. Love means satisfaction. Rasa. In its highest dimension and expression. Total intoxication. Total loss of consciousness in divine love. Bewilderment. Madness. Divyonmad. Mahabhav. This is the topmost expression of divine, pure spiritual love, which is embodied by Srimati Radharani. So that Krishna is attracted to that love that is embodied in Srimati Radharani. So sex attraction originates from God, from Krishna. He's attracted to Radharani, and Radharani's attracted to him. So this attraction is maintaining this material world, because every living entity, beginning with Srimati Radharani and Baladev and Sankarshan and Mahavishnu and so many Tathasta Jivas and so many Jivas, they're all expanded from Krishna. So as Krishna himself, God himself, is made of two qualities. He is attractive and he is attracted. He's attractive to Radharani, and he's attractive for Radharani, and he's attracted to Radharani. Radharani's attracted to him, and he's attracted to Radharani. This is original in the spiritual world by Kunta Dam. Ham sarasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate. Janmadyasya yataha. Everything begins with the absolute truth. So sex attraction or divine love, spiritual love, pure love between Radha and Krishna, this is the origin of all love. So the jiva, who is also a minute particle of the consciousness or minute particle of God, he has attraction within him. Like a magnet. A magnet, the inherent quality of a magnet, the inborn, intrinsic, inherent quality of a magnet is attraction. The power of attraction, magnetic force. And it attracts a particular object. A magnet does not attract water. A magnet does not attract wood or stone or plastic. But it attracts iron. Iron filings, they go and they get stuck on the magnet. There's a natural attraction. The magnetic filings have the inherent quality to be attracted to the magnet. And the magnet has the inherent quality to attract the filings. It's built in. So built in within every jiva, within every minute particle of consciousness, is the same quality that God has. God is Karshan, Sankarshan, Sankarshan, all attractive force, all attractive power. So this Sankarshan, in its most blissful presentation, is known as Krishna. When you have Sankarshan, which means attraction, gravity, power of attraction, attractive force, you have Sankarshan and you add bliss, you add love, then you have Ananda, Sankarshan Ananda. So to make this in an abbreviated form, or to present this in one form, instead of Sankarshan Ananda, you have Krishna. Because Krishna means Sankarshan and Ananda. Because the form of Sankarshan does not have the same degree or depth of bliss that Krishna has. So Krishna is the origin of everything and everyone. And he has this power of attraction and the quality of being attracted. And we have within us, with every jiva has within him or within her, the power of being attracted and being attractive. Because it comes from God. Now, the purpose, all the jivas are actually meant to enjoy an eternal loving union, a divine loving union with the Absolute Truth, with the Absolute Supreme Personality. We are supposed to be linked with God. Yoga, bhakti yoga, divine love. We are supposed to be one with the Lord in a loving relationship. Unity and diversity. Man and woman come together, they're one, but they're two. They're one in their loving relationship, but they're two individuals. There's unity and diversity. So when the Atma realizes that I am meant to be attracted to God, and my attraction, my attractive qualities are meant to be offered to God. So what is the ultimate power of attraction? The ultimate power of attraction is not money or wealth or strength or knowledge. The ultimate power of attraction, which everyone is attracted to, is love. So God is the sum total of divine love. Krishna is the he's a Prem Purushottam, he's the embodiment, Prem Sarup, he's the embodiment of love. So what we're attracted to in this world is love. And what we're attracted by is love. And what people are attracted to in us is love. So a man wants a woman's love. A woman wants a man's, woman wants a man's love, and a man wants a woman's love. Because that is the most attractive quality. I'm not attracted to your money, to your power, to your knowledge, to your strength. I'm attracted to your love. This is the greatest force of the whole world, the whole universe. Because this is the greatest force within God. The loving attraction. And that loving attraction takes its form in Radharani. The love comes out of Krishna, that divine, unlimited, spiritual, pure love. Comes out of Krishna as Ananda Sarupini, Ananda Sarupini, the blissful form of love, as Radharani. And then when Krishna sees that unlimited attractive form, he becomes attracted. And being attracted, he becomes attractive, and Radharani becomes attracted to him, and they come together. Because love attracts love. And there's no more powerful attractive force in the world. So this is natural. It's natural for a man to be attracted to woman and woman to be attracted to man. But this bodily attraction is a perversion. It's a contamination of the soul, of the Atma. Because every pure soul is meant to be tied up tightly in a bond of oneness, divine loving ecstasy with the Supreme Soul, Krishna. In a variety of rasas, as tied up as mother and son, tied up as friend and friend, tied up as lover, husband and wife, tied up as paramour lover. Matsalya ras, madhurya ras, sakya ras. This is the spiritual world. This is the eternal spiritual reality. This is the foundation upon which this entire material world is reflected in an upside down or perverted way. This is all imitative. And because it's imitative, and we're not, our love as an Atma, which is our eternal feature, the attractive power of love. Our attractive power of love is meant to be offered to God. He's attracted to the love. God is attracted to the love of our soul. And we, when we become purified, we're naturally in a purified state, attracted to the pure love of God. But when the mind is contaminated by this material energy and all of this exploitive tendency and hankar, then all the problems come up. If you analyze the Srimad Bhagavatam from first canto to 12th canto, there's so many discussions about maitun, sex problems, ajamil, and this one and that one and this one and that one. From this is 9th canto, then you have ajamil in the 6th canto. And 7th canto, and throughout. Because this perverted reflection of the pure dynamic exchange of love with God is causing the bondage in the material world. As soon as we allow ourselves to be attracted to God, become attracted to Krishna, the all-attractive divine lover, and offer our love to him, which he'll become attracted to us, and we become attracted to him, then there's no more material world. Because the material world, janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, exists only because of one factor. Humsa sriyamatuni bhavametam tuyoramito ridya grantamahu ato griha shetra sutatabhitar janasya mohoham ahammameti. This is a verse from Bhagavatam. Pumsa striya matuni bhavametam. Pumsa striya. Pumsa means man. Striya means woman. Pumsa striya maituni bhavametam. Maituni bhav. That bhav, that love, that romance between man and woman. Maitun, combination, sex union, man and woman. Pumsa striya matuni bhavam. Maituni bhav. But this maituni bhav is tuchavat, insignificant, compared to prema ras, madhurya bhav. You want maitunya bhav, but there's madhurya bhav, and vatsalya bhav, and sakya bhav. Such an ocean of ecstatic bliss. So, Humsa Striyo Matuni Bhavmetam Tiyor Mito Griha Vidya Grantamaho. When man comes to offer his love, and instead of offering his love to God, he offers his love to woman, and woman, instead of offering her love to God, they offer their love to man, then what happens? Vidya Grantamahu. Vidaya Grantim. Grantim means knot. You know, you tie a rope, two pieces of a rope, a hard knot in the heart. That knot means, that knot is the knot of illusion. Maitunya agara, the shackles, the bondage of sex life. And from that knot, from that moha of illusion, of incorrectly placed love, improperly offered love, love offered to a body instead of love offered to God. Because love is the attribute of the Atma. Love is not an attribute of the body. Dead body, a body without an Atma shows no love. Love is the attribute and the characteristic and the quality of the Atma. Prema is an Atma guna, not a Deha guna. Quality of the Atma. So from that illusion comes ato griha shetra sutatta vitaya. From that illusion comes attachment to family, apta, and relatives, and wealth, and house, and field, and family, and business. Ato griha shetra sutatta vitaya. Then what is it? What does it all end up with? Janasya moho yam aham mameti. Aham mameti. I, aham mameti, mine. I am this body. I am the husband. This is my wife. I am the wife. This is my husband. These are my children, and my son, and my daughter, and my house, and my business, and my country. This is mohoyam. Janasya mohoyam. It is illusion, complete dream, complete illusion, covering the Atma, covering the pure prema of the soul. So many verses in Bhagavatam about this problem, sex attraction. Then, yan maitunadi grihamedi sukami ducham, kanduyanena koryor eva dukha dukham. Yan maitunadi grihamedi sukham hitucham. Sukham hitucham. Yan maitunadi grihamedi. Maitun, beginning with maitunadi, beginning with sex attraction, then you have grihamedi life. Grihamedi life means vikarma. Nunam pramatak kurute vikarma, yet indriya pritya apniroti. Nunam pramatak. Kurute vikarma. So a grihamedi life, just sex enjoyment, husband and wife, this is grihamedi. Grihastha nehi. This is not grihastha life. This is grihamedi. This is vikarma. Vikarma means sinful, unjustified, unlawful. Then from that unlawful vikarma comes so much papam. So much papam. Abortion. Oh, we have a child. Abort the child. So many vikarma. Nunam. Why? Indriya priti. Because we love the senses. I love my body. I love my body. I love my senses. And love, and I express my love by grabbing and squeezing another body. That's how I express my attraction for God, by squeezing the flesh and bones of some other body. This is my pleasure. Indriya pritya apnurat. Nunam pramatak. Such a person is completely stupid, foolish. Pramatak. Mata means foolish, and pramat means completely. So it's explained in Bhagavatam, yan maitunadi vihamedi sukham hi tucham. This maitunadi sukham is tucham. Tuchabat means insignificant. It is like a drop. It is like a sukha bindu. It's like a drop of happiness in a sukh sagar. The prem sagar is unlimited happiness. So this Sobari Rishi, he was a great Rishi, but he had no, he was controlling his senses in such a powerful way to stay under the water and maintain his life. But he had no manoruchi, no manorati, no attraction in his mind for Krishna. He had not contacted the beauty of Krishna. The power of Krishna, the attraction of Krishna. By his own determination and austerity, he was controlling and sublimating. He was sublimating his desires and controlling his desires, but he was not removing them or actually expressing the innermost or the inner desire and the original desire. It's called the Adi Ras. In Shastra, it's called the Adi Ras. What is the Adi Ras? The sex attraction between Krishna and his gopis. It's called Adi Ras. The original relationship, the original rasa, Madhurya Ras, Parakiya Bhav. This is called Adi Ras from the spiritual world. So we see that this material world, everything is based, the whole material world is based on sex attraction, man to woman. And it begins with rupam, with form, as we see from the example of Sobari Rishi. He saw rupam, form, of illicit activity. He became contaminated. So the woman for the man, and the man for the woman. The woman, everything about a woman, everything about a woman is Maya. Everything about a man is Maya. Maha Maya. Big Maya. Because everything about a woman attracts man. Man is attracted by the rupam, the form of woman. He wants to look and see. And he's attracted to the fragrance of a woman's body. Woman and man have different fragrance, natural fragrance. I don't mean cologne and perfume. Natural differences. Every species of life. A bull smells different than a cow. A man smells different than a woman. Every animal is like this. If you have any experience in living in village, you know each animal. Male horse smells different than a female horse, a male elephant. If you have any experience with life, you'll understand. So a man is attracted by the fragrance of a woman. He's attracted by the sweet Shravanam Amritam. Shravanam Amritam. Vachas Sharad Padmoksavam Vacham Vachascha Shravanam Amritam. The face of a woman is like the full moon in the Sharad season. Sharad Padmoksavam Vacham Vachascha Shravanam Amritam. Her vacha, her words, her vacha is Shravan Amritam. Oh, she's full. Oh, honey, oh Prabhu, please, can you buy me a new sari? You know, you've been so nice to me, please. So when a man hears the sweet Shravanam, when he hears the words of his wife or his girlfriend, if he's, you know, New Age Indian, he has a girlfriend, his girlfriend says, Oh Sunil, I'll never leave. I love you so much. I love you more than anything else in the world. You're everything for me. I'll give everything to you. So he hears these sweet words and he thinks, oh, this is wonderful. This is such nectar. This nectarine words. And then 2 weeks later she says, get the hell out of here. She says, hey, get the hell out of here. I never want to see you again. Huh? So she breaks the illusion with razor sharp. Ridiyam shuradara bhyam. Ridiyam shuradara bhyam. The heart is like a shuradara. Like a heart is like a razor. So the man is attracted to all these features. But to speak, and he sees the woman, then he wants to touch and further enjoyment. And the same woman with the man, she sees the man. So the first thing is rupam. So the analogy is given by the acharya is, it's just like the moth, some fly, you know, like a butterfly called a moth. When it sees the flames of the fire, when the fire is burning, it's an insect, it's a type of insect flying around, a small insect called a moth. So he's hopelessly compelled and attracted to the flames of the fire. When he sees the flames of the fire, when he sees the rupam, he sees the rupam in the form of that fire, he becomes attracted to that form, and he flies into the fire, and he gets extinguished and annihilated. He gets killed. He gets burned up in the flames of the fire. So when a brahmachari, or grihastha, or any man or woman, he sees the form of the opposite sex, that's the first attraction, false attraction. The first false attraction or wrong attraction. He looks at the form, then he becomes attracted. And then he flies, but that form of woman is like a fire. So he goes to that form, and his spiritual life becomes extinguished. He becomes burned up in the flames of sense gratification. He becomes attracted by the rupam, man to woman, woman to man. Then he goes closer, and then his spiritual life becomes extinguished. His spiritual life becomes extinguished in the fires of sense gratification. Just like the tiny insect, his life becomes extinguished in the fire due to attraction to rupam. Nam, rup, gun, lila, rupa, sparsha, ganda. So these are the illusory attractions of this material world which bind us to this conception of man-woman love, man for woman, woman for man. Yan maitunadi grihamedi sukham hitucham. Insignificant waste of time. So, what is the solution? Because this is the primordial factor of human life, the primordial factor of creation. This sex attraction between man and woman. As we explained in the beginning of the lecture, this originates from the spiritual world, from the divine love existing between Krishna and all his loving servitors. So what's the solution? How do we escape the bondage of samsara chakra, which is rolling on and on because of pumsa sriya matuni bhavam etam? Because of matuni bhavam, man and woman attraction, the sex attraction, we're staying on in this material world, life after life after life. Janma mrityu jarabhyadhi, samsara chakra. So the solution is be attracted to Krishna. Become attracted to Krishna. So therefore, Krishna, in the spiritual world, he's having his pure, transcendental, divine pastimes of loving exchanges. Pure love. Sambhog lila. Love with his mother, with his brothers, with his gopis and gopas. And out of his kindness, and out of his infinite mercy, Krishna comes to the material world. He comes to the material world and he shows the conditioned souls. Here is pure love. Here is divine love. This is the reality which you're actually aspiring for. This is the love that you're looking for. This is the union that you're wanting. You're looking for the perfect match, the perfect lover, that divine union which will give you unlimited bliss and happiness. Look, I'm showing it to you. My Braja Leela. My Ras Leela. So Krishna came to show his pastimes, the eternal spiritual pastimes in Vrindavan, to attract us, to awaken the inherent original attraction of the soul for divine communion, for divine love and divine union, our soul with Krishna, the Atma with the Paramatma. This is perfect love, the perfection of divine love. This is the Adi Ras. This is the original pure Adi Ras, the pure loving exchange between the pure devotee, the liberated Atma, and the Supreme Atma, or Paramatma, Sri Krishna Bhagavan. So he comes into this world and he shows these pastimes for us to hear about, to read about, to reflect on. Bhakti Sananda Saraswati, there's one purport in the 11th canto. It's quoted in BBT. Bhakti Sananda Saraswati, he recommends, of course so many others do also, if one wants to get free from these lusty attraction, free from the lusty attraction for man and woman, then he must hear about the pure spiritual romantic affairs of Radha and Krishna and the gopis. This is one purport, 11th canto. We must hear about these things. Now someone might say, well, these are very intimate affairs, intimate pastimes. But these pastimes, Krishna came specifically to show these pastimes for conditioned souls. He didn't just show them somewhere in a hidden cave somewhere where only a few rishis could see them. He showed them openly in public. Just like he came in Kurukshetra and he had pastimes here in the battlefield. But only 200 people understood that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone else, all the thousands and millions of soldiers, thought he was a mundane king of questionable gotra. Is he Vaishya? Is he Kshatriya? What is this gotra? So this is the mercy of Krishna. So this showing these pastimes is meant for a particular purpose. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, taking the role of the perfect pure devotee. He took sannyas. He was a sannyasi. Sannyasi takes a vow never to have any association with woman. No intimate association at all with any woman. Her whole life. This is sannyasi vrata. Completely pure behavior. Dedicated to the service of Krishna. But yet, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers, the six Goswamis and others who were total renunciates and total liberated souls, what did they do? What example did they show us? They themselves were studying and reading about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And in a discussion in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Lord Chaitanya himself is talking about the Rasa Leela, he concludes the discussion by saying that this is the right subject matter for conditioned souls to cure the heart disease of lust. Lust covers the desire to enjoy woman, and the desire to enjoy man is called kama or lust. And this covers the pure prema of the Atma. Every Atma has pure love within it, which is meant to be connected with Krishna and offered to Krishna. But that pure attraction within the soul that's meant to be offered to Krishna is covered by a disease, a ritrogam, called kama, lust. So what is the medicine for this disease? The medicine is chanting Hare Krishna, devotional service. And part of devotional service is Bhagavat Shravan. That's the beginning. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam. So Bhagavatam, we're discussing in 9th canto, the problem of Sabari Muni was due to Yan Maitunadi Grihamedi Sukham. He fell to sex attraction. Now right after hearing the downfall of Sabari Muni, 9th canto, then we enter the 10th canto. This is the culmination of Bhagavatam. It's the essence and the ultimate teachings is that describing in the 10th canto the wonderful intimate loving exchanges of Krishna and his pure devotees in various rasas, including conjugal ras, vatsali ras, sakhi ras. So this is the downfall of Sobari Rishi was that he had no attraction for Krishna. He had never heard about the tapas of Krishna or chanted Krishna's holy name. So therefore he was only suppressing his urges by his power of his determination and tapasya. But he was not discovering his original love. He was not uncovering his original attraction for Krishna. He was sublimating or covering over his original attraction with his lusty attraction for Maya and material energy. But he never actually purified and revealed his original attraction for Krishna, the Adivas. So the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, the pastimes that Krishna shows, these are pastimes that describe the wonderful pastimes of Krishna with all his loving devotees. And by reading about those devotees, Mother Yashoda, coward boys, suckies, this creates bhakti within the heart. This creates devotion in the heart. Bhagavat Shravan. And this bhakti destroys lust. It removes the lust. Just like Sobhari Muni, he was submerged in the Yamuna. But he was still full of lust. The analogy that Acharyas give, like a lusty bull elephant. A bull elephant, a male elephant. He's very lusty. He's just burning with the fire. His mind is burning with the fire of lust to enjoy. So it says it's to find relief. If he can't find relief by finding a female cow, a cow elephant, or female, they call cow, female elephant, he'll run into the Ganges. He'll run into the Ganga, into the cooling waters of the Ganga, into the rushing, cooling streams of the Ganga. And he'll submerge himself there in the Ganga, and he'll feel some relief from the fire of lust, and his mind will become somewhat peaceful. So the Acharyas say that in the same way, our minds are full of lust. Kamam, ridrogam, kamam is lust. So we submerge our minds in the cooling water. We submerge our minds in the cooling water of Krishna's pastimes. Then we'll find peace. We'll find relief from this burning fire of lust. Just as, and then the six Goswamis, it explains, how were they able to give up all this material world? Because param drisva nivartate. Right? Rasa varjam rasopyasya param drisva nivartate. In Bhagavad Gita, they gave up this material world. Tyaktva turnam ashesha mangalapati. Shrenam sada tuchavat. Bhutva dinam ganeshako kruniya kopina kanta shrito. They wore kopin and kanta and gave up this material world. Mangalapati. Being surrounded, mandala, by so much honor, distinction, kamani, kanak, pratishta, wealth, aristocracy, they gave it all up. How were they able to give it all up? Gopi bhavara samrita bilahari kalola magno mohur. Gopi bhavara sa. Gopi bhavara samrita bilahari. They were, just as the elephant goes in the Ganges and gets refreshed by the waves of the Ganges. So by the waves, Gopi Bhavara Samritabdi. Abdi means ocean. An ocean is full of waves. You know, waves, taranga, prema taranga. So when one submerges himself in the ocean of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu means the ocean of Krishna Bhakti. The ocean of Bhagavat Shravan. Submerge ourselves, enter and dive into the ocean of Krishna's pastimes, and the waves of that ocean will extinguish the fire of lusty desires. They will extinguish the fire of sense gratification. This is what's enjoined by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati in 11th canto of Srila Prabhupada's commentaries in Krishna book, by Shukamuni himself in chapter 33, verse 39, Vikriditam Brajabhadubir Tavishnam. He says that to hear these topics about Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna, is medicine, and it cures the disease of lust from the soul. So we have an inherent primordial attraction for Krishna. We have attraction for him, and he has attraction for us. We are meant to be connected with Krishna in divine loving union. This is bhakti. Bhakti yoga means divine union with Lord, to love God. So we have to unfold that love. We have to uncover that love. So now our original pure attraction and desire for pure love and pure union with God as a liberated loving Atma in a particular relationship, a liberated loving soul in a particular relationship, is covered by all these false relationships and illusory relationships and all this dirt and perversion of the material world, greed and anger and lust and exploitation and selfishness. There's no love in this material world. It's simply selfishness. I need something from you, so I have to catch you and squeeze you because I'm selfish. I'll do something for you only to get something in return. That's selfishness. So our so-called conjugal love of man and woman or parental love, it's all basically selfish for my own pleasure, my own satisfaction, my own well-being. But there's a pure love deep in the heart of the soul. There's a pure attraction, and there's that urge, that push for union, that strong primordial urge within the Atma, within the mind, within the body, pushing man to woman and pushing woman to man, is actually the original pushing of the soul wanting to, the pushing of the soul wanting to join with God, and the pulling of God wanting to join with the soul. Just like man is being pushed to woman, and woman is being pushed to man. Well, Krishna is always coming and pushing himself towards us, hoping that we'll come towards him. Because that is our, that union is eternal. The union with God is eternal. That is called divine union. So every jiva, every living entity is meant to be combined in divine love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But rejecting that and covering that over, we're trying to replace that. We're trying to find a subordinate or replacement for Krishna's love with material love. We want spiritual love because we're spiritual. We want Atma Prema. Atma Prema. And we're trying to find Atma Prema through the body. And this causes all the complexities of life. So the Srimad Bhagavatam, this is teaching us all these basic points about this material world. We can try to learn some lessons from Sober Yamuni. He was submerged in the waters of the Yamuna. Yamuna, the waters of the Yamuna are also flowing in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. Yamuna is also flowing in the pages of the waves of the Yamuna. Krishna had so many pastimes in the Yamuna with the cows and the coward boys and the gopis. So the waves of the Yamuna are flowing in the pages of the Bhagavatam. So we should submerge our minds and submerge our hearts and our bodies in the waves of the Bhagavatam, in the waves of the Yamuna. Submerge underneath the Yamuna in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And no fish will distract us. No tomato, no fish, no anybody will distract us from the spiritual path. Because we're attaining raso varjam rasopyasya. We're tasting bhakti ras from jasvani vartate. So Subari was submerged, but his submersion, he had no attraction or attachment for Krishna. So we submerged, we should also go into Yamuna. He was in the Yamuna. We should also go into Yamuna. Submerge ourselves in the Vrindavan pastimes of Radha and Krishna. We are devotees of Radha and Krishna. Everything about Radha and Krishna is meant for us. The name of Radha and Krishna, the form of Radha and Krishna. But he says, no, touching with the eyes is not good enough. I want more, more, more. So this is the beginning, Rupam. So we contemplation, attachment, lust, and fall down. So the same thing happened with Sobari Muni. He had his eyes open. He saw the rupam of the fish, machi maitun, fish enjoying. And then everything went in a line, as Krishna explains. He contemplated. He got attached. So we want rupam. We want to see sundara, sundarya rupam. Our eyes are craving. Our eyes are craving and pushing to touch beautiful form. We want to touch beautiful form with our eyes. So, Govinda Mari Purusham Tamam Bhajami Venam Gavantam Aravinda Dalayataksham Bhagavatam Samasitam Burasundarangam Kandarpa Koti Kamaniya Vishesha Shobham Govindam Hari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Let our eyes touch the form of Krishna, Sundarya Rupam. If we're always looking at the form of Krishna, contemplating the form of Krishna, meditating on the form of Krishna, what happens? You lose your desire. You make a bondage and you lose your desire to contemplate the form of Maya. Man loses his desire to contemplate the form of woman. And woman loses her desire. She looks at a man and thinks, you're ugly. Krishna in the temple looks much better than you. His hair is nice and beautiful and long. He's such beautiful jewelry. He's so rich and opulent. And his smile is so nice. Your smile is crooked. And one ear is lower than the other ear. And your nose is too flat. But Krishna's nose is perfect. His eyes are wonderful. He's Padma Lochan. So let that rupam capture our eyes. So if we bathe our eyes with the darshan, with Krishna rupam, we will lose the desire to touch the form of woman. But until the eyes are purified by touching the form of Krishna with your eyes, rupam darshan, your eyes will want to touch the form of woman with an enjoying spirit. Oh, look at this one. Look at that one. Because you have no higher, the eyes need a higher taste. You know, param drisvani, every one of our senses must attain a higher taste. So how do you attain a higher taste for the eyes? You have to practice, constant practice and detachment. This is how you control the senses and the mind, Krishna says in Gita. Constant practice and detachment. Detachment means stop looking at woman. That's the detachment. In the practice, start looking at Krishna. So when you're moving somewhere, just like I went in someone's rickshaw, I appreciated that few minutes with this devotee very much. I felt a very wonderful exchange with this devotee, one of the members of this community. I felt, what a sincere devotee. What a wonderful example of a devotee. I just, even to this day, it makes me feel very happy and very satisfied. I had to go over somewhere short distance. I said, any rickshaws around? He said, Maharaj, come with me. I'll take you in mine. I'll drop you off and I'm going out for my collection. So I got in his rickshaw, and it was just some auto rickshaw. Nothing so fancy about an auto rickshaw, but it was recently fixed up a little bit, new seat covers or something. But then on the sides, where the windows are, there's windows on the side, they were all covered with vinyl, and the seat was sitting in such a position, the seat was kind of high up, that when you look, you couldn't see out the front window. You can't see out in the front, and you can't see out in the sides. I said, wow, this is like a gufa. This is like a cave. Your auto rickshaw is like a cave or a gufa. It's like a bhajan kutir. You can't see anything. He said, yes, Maharaj, that's the idea. I want to sit in this rickshaw and I want to chant Hare Krishna. I don't want to be distracted. Look out the window here and there. Oh, look at this pretty girl on the sidewalk at Connaught Place. Oh, look at this beautiful new girl from Europe over here in Connaught Place. Oh, something special. A European model. You know, different than Indian model. So I don't want to have to look out I don't want to see any of these things. So I can't look out the front. I tell my driver where I want to go. I close the window. My driver goes. I sit back. Aram say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. I said, oh, this is so nice. What a very nice, sincere devotee, trying, in his own way, trying to control his senses and expressing such sincere sentiments. Krishna very much appreciates such a devotee, such mentality. All right, we have weaknesses, we may fall down, but that mentality, that attitude of sincerity, that attitude of trying. So in other words, the example shows he was trying to fix his eyes on the rupam of Krishna, the nam rupam, the form of Krishna's holy name. In the form of the deities. He didn't want his eyes to look out the window of his car and rickshaw and touch women as he goes down the street. Stri Sparsha. Because touching woman with the eyes means touching with the mind, means touching with everything. Head, tail, everything. So if we never touch with the eyes, then there's no contemplation. And if we get the higher taste of Krishna Dhyan, Rupa Dhyan, meditating on the form of Krishna, the pastimes and qualities of Krishna, then there's no chance for being attracted to touching Maya with any of our senses. So Sobari Muni, although he's living in Yamuna, in Mathura, doing austerity, he had never touched the form of Krishna with his eyes. Unfortunate. He had never beheld the Saundarya Rupa of Krishna. Yamsham Asundaram. Achintya gunas rupam Sri Bangalalitam Niyataprakasham. Sri Bangalalitam Niyataprakasham. That beautiful manifestation, that manifestation of topmost beauty, Krishna's form. So he comes into this world as his Archamurti avatar, as his Yuga avatar, as his Leela avatar, to show his Leelas and his Rupam and his Vigraha, for us to be attracted to Krishna. So that we must very much purify our eyes. Our eyes, the desire of the eyes to touch the female form or the male form, must be purified by directing the eyes to the form of Krishna. It's explained that one who is very lusty in the heart, full of lust, to enjoy the objects of this world, he cannot stay very long and take darshan to the deity. Because there's one shloka in Bhagavatam that says that the smiling face of Krishna destroys the false pride of the living entity. The ahankar becomes destroyed by the smiling face of Krishna. So a lusty man is full of ahankar, false ego. I am the enjoyer. I am God. I am perfect. I am powerful. I am this body. I am man. I am woman. That is ahankar due to lust, kamam. So when he comes before the deity, he can't stay long. Because if he stays long and looks for a long time at Krishna's smiling face, his hankar will be broken. And his enjoying spirit will be dismantled. And his lusty desires will diminish. So he comes in, Hare Krishna, and goes out. Prabhupada used to stay in front of Radha Govinda in the Mulak's temple when he was a little child for hours on end. He would stay for hours and look at the beauty of Radha Govinda, drink the beauty with his eyes. Through the vessels of his eyes, he would drink their transcendental sweet beauty to his heart's content. He had no desire to run around Calcutta and see all the interesting sights and scenes of Calcutta with all his friends. He would rather look at the form of Krishna. So Krishna is always giving his darshan. He's always here. But are we ever here? We're busy looking at something else. Looking at something else, which leads to thinking of something else, which leads to doing something else besides Krishna's service. Some fishy business. Like Silvari Muni. He saw the fish, looking at the fish, and then he got engaged in some fishy business. Right? Some fishy business, some lower chakras activity. So we want to look at Krishna and keep Krishna's business as our business. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.